First, we take a look at the continued rise of craft beer in America. The last decade has seen a big shift in the way Americans consume beer. It's even more profound when you take a look at some recently released sales numbers.
In 2013, more barrels of craft beer were shipped than those of the Budweiser brand. Make that about 16.1 million for craft beers and 16 million for Budweiser. It's the first time craft beer has outsold the Budweiser brand, and a gigantic leap from 10 years ago when Budweiser shipped about 10 times as much beer as all the craft breweries combined.
Here to talk about the significance of that milestone and the economic boon the craft beer boom is creating in the state is Robin Shepherd. He's a regional beer writer and beer correspondent for ISBIS in Madison. He's also the author of Wisconsin's Best Breweries and Brew Pubs, Searching for the Perfect Pint. Robin, welcome to Central Time.
I'm glad to be here.
So we mentioned those sales numbers. Stack up all those little craft breweries and medium-sized craft breweries. They've actually outsold the Budweiser, not Bud Light, but the Budweiser brand itself. Does this mean something?
Well, it's an interesting time to be a beer enthusiast. When you think about it, the numbers that you're quoting about Budweiser are really, there's a broader set of numbers that is a slice of. When you think about what's happening overall in beer consumption in the country, in the U.S., it declined about 2% last year. But this segment that we see that we called craft beer, that grew by 17% to a point now where craft beer overall sales are about 7.8% of all the beer that's sold in the country.
So why did this happen? What led to this growth in craft beers?
Well, there's a lot of things. You know, success sort of breeds success in many ways, and it's hard to sort of say this is the one particular thing that has created almost like a tipping point, at least in our interest of craft beer at the present time. But you think about the push in the last 15 to 20 years over locally made products, locally produced items. That local intensity or identity that comes with the pride of a brewery in your backyard, in your community. You know, there's a demand for flavorful foods overall, and the craft beer movement clearly fits into that. There's an extreme beer interest now that there's sort of, you take that flavorful interest, that extreme flavor desire, and take that to the next level of what can we, you know, what intensity is there. There are all other things that are sort of happening. The push for experimental beers have followed or mimicked a lot of what we see in leading-edge cuisine and interesting food dishes. You know, it's not so coincidental that we have the rise of the Food Network. Mm-hmm. You know, the beer movement sort of echoes all of that at the same time. Then there's a culture also that I think I'm part of, and it's almost as if it's a scavenger hunt of, can I find the communities that these small breweries are in? Can I find the beer? Not out of, you know, the quantity of the beer, but rather the quality of the beer and the story, the journey of finding them, that scavenger hunt of, can I find them? That has spawned a whole interest in beer tourism, believe it or not, and we're seeing destination breweries crop up where people want to go on vacation just to take a tour of this particular brewery or to this particular region. Wisconsin has always had a wonderful history of brewing that we have attracted a lot of people into our old breweries of Milwaukee. But now we're really beginning to see places like Madison, Door County, Green Bay, parts, neighborhoods of Milwaukee that have become beer destinations.
Well, you mentioned, you know, a big, long brewing tradition in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, on those large-scale breweries. How do we stack up compared to the rest of the nation when it comes to craft beer?
Well, historically, our historical roots in the large, bigger breweries mm-hmm. have kind of, in some ways, I think, slowed us down to embracing some of the modern craft beer movement.
That didn't the big beers were local beers.
Right. Those big beers were local beers. There was a lot of pride in Milwaukee and those large breweries that went with them. And so we were a little slower to embrace the micro craft beer movement. And when I quote you the numbers of 7.8%, those are numbers from the Brewers Association. There are folks in Wisconsin that kind of watch those numbers and would say that overall our craft beer consumption in the state is probably close to 5%, because we were kind of slow to kind of come to the dance in terms of our craft beer movement. In terms of our numbers, though, we're still about, I think, number 10. If you put all the states and just look at the numbers, not per capita breweries, but we have somewhere around 90 to 100 brewing properties that are active. There are more brewing permits in the works right now, but active brewers probably a little over 90, and that puts us at number 10. But it also comes with it, I think, the realization that Wisconsin still has that long historical image of being the beer state. I mean, from 1962 to 1982, given those big breweries in Milwaukee, we were the number one producing state in the entire country for those that 20-year period.
Does craft beer have that kind of economic potential for Wisconsin?
Oh, absolutely. If you think about what this craft beer movement is about, beer movement overall, it kind of depends upon whether you look at industry numbers or other people who track the industry, but generally the beer in the U.S., all beer, is around a $220 billion enterprise. Craft beer, if you think about that slice of it, its economic impact is closer to $35 to $40 billion. If you break that down into the states, Wisconsin, for example, with its 90 breweries, it has an impact of about $855 million, direct impact. That's not the secondary impact, mind you, of all the trickle-out industries. That's the direct impact from industry numbers. We employ about 9,800 workers. The average worker in brewing makes about $30,000 a year. If you look around the states, we're probably pretty equitable with Minnesota, with about 50 breweries and a $750 million economic kind of contribution to that state.
Now, Budweiser seeing itself outsold by all those other craft beers or all the craft beers combined says they're going to change their marketing and try to target a younger generation. Is this partly a generational shift we're seeing toward craft beers?
Well, I think everybody, whether it's the craft industry and the big guys, they're all watching what 80 million millennials are going to mean to the food, the beverage industry purchasing period. And where does that group of audience take us? When you're really big, like Budweiser or InBev, Anheuser-Busch, Miller Coors, you think about what they can do in marketing to pick up a 2% drop in their own product. I mean, they have some resources that the small guys don't have. So I don't think that we're going to see Budweiser go away anytime soon. Will they rally? They've already been rallying. You see groups like InBev have developed sort of niche aspects of what they do with specialized products like Shop Top, or they have embraced a group of breweries to help distribute and get those beers out, like Red Hook, which is a very popular West Coast micro craft beer. Miller, for example, has its 10th and Blake Brewery, which is a special arm, a special brewery that it handles things like Leinenkugels and their Big Eddie lineup. So they have rallied around this interest in craft beer.
I think of the alcohol industry in general as a really complicated one in some ways to break into for a small business. Each state has its laws on how you can sell, how you can distribute, whether you can distribute across state lines, a lot of things. Is that loosening up? Is it easier for a little guy to, you know, break out into new markets?
Well, every state has a different set of laws, and I think, you know, in Wisconsin, there's a lot of talk about when a brewery or a brew pub comes in, they need to pre-identify itself as a brewery or a brew pub, and then that kind of locks them into a certain type of evolution as a business. And I think there'll be continued interest over changing some of those laws. Many of the laws that are still on the books that govern this industry, you know, date back to the end of Prohibition. And so each state has that ability to tweak those depending upon what they would like to see that industry, how they'd like to see that industry grow.
You mentioned beer tourism. Are we seeing much of that in Wisconsin yet?
Oh, very much so. Earlier in the summer, you know, I did a little work looking at Door County in terms of, you know, we all think of Door County, how beautiful it is with the cherries and the wineries. It's been fascinating over the last couple of years to watch the number of special beer bars that are now, you know, catering to the tourism in Door County. They now have two brew pubs in Door County, a third if you count an Appy in Algoma that's sort of at the doorway to Door County. Festivals are a big thing. Door County alone now has two annual festivals, but festivals bring in a lot of people. If you think about Madison and its Great Taste of the Midwest, one of the best outdoor festivals, 6,000 tickets. It's got to rock concert status where people camp out waiting for tickets the day or two before so that they can get in line to get those tickets.
Well, before we let you go, Robin, any micro brews that you're excited about these days?
Well, it's winter is a fun time. I'm very much a seasonal scavenger. And I love the darker, heavier, more malty, more sweeter brews of the season. And things like some rich Belgian Blends, some very bold stouts are always wonderful on my mind, or always on my mind right now. I just had a beer earlier in the week that was unveiled for the first time at the Great Dane Brew Pubs that was made in partnership with Wollishheim Winery. About 80% of its beer, 20% of it is their Prairie Fumée wine, and it was quite exquisite. It was a Belgian triple that had its own fruitiness that was really accentuated by that wonderful white grape.
Sounds great. Robin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was beer writer Robin Shepherd joins us to talk about the continued rise of craft beer and the economic opportunities it has for Wisconsin.